Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
In addition to swearing, this episode includes a content warning for continued discussion of animal death. Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 16 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And meth milk? No, big milk.
Yeah!
Chapter 16 opens with Briar hanging out with the tigers some more.
Mm-hmm.
The priestess or somebody... Mm-hmm. comes out, brings him some food, and is like, come inside. But she's also kind of like stunned by like, oh, you know, we always thought that the tigers were like mindless drones, but maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Which, oh, I don't have the book on me right now. I must have left it in the car. But shout out to my coworker who has got me reading Carl Safina's book, the title of which I can't remember, about the way animals communicate, because like this is a perfect tie-in, and that's kind of like he basically is like, this is kind of how we view animals, like they're mindless drones and don't really like think, but maybe they do.
Flower definitely thinks. She thinks of murder.
Evie wakes up. Evie has been sleeping a lot. Mm-hmm. And has all these weird dreams, and then she wakes up in a cave with a stone bear and realizes that none of this was a dream.
And a giant spider too, right?
And a giant spider. And if I remember,
and the skull snakes, and
if I remember correctly, she freaks the fuck out at the giant spider, and that's a mood. I would too.
She was screaming, and Luvo's like, would you stop with that hideous noise? They're trying to help you.
Literally bring in her delicious food. It is literally, though, like a 6-foot spider. Like,
yeah. And she doesn't know anything about them. Like, if I was like more formally introduced to a 6-foot spider and somebody was like, okay, I'm going to introduce you my friend, they're really awesome, just be warned, they're kind of a 6-foot spider, then I'd be like, okay. But, you know, when you just, like, wake up after somebody has, like, tried to kill you, and boom, 6-foot spider, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be screaming, too.
It's a pretty legitimate reaction. We get the return of the bone snakes here.
Mm-hmm. Creepy little fuckers, yeah.
They're so cool, though!
Oh, they're cool, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere near them. And apparently Luo doesn't want them near Evie, either, like... They helped a little, I think, unwrapping her bandages, but like after that, it was like, yeah, they might eat her.
Like, ooh, that meat creature might actually be a tasty snack.
Well, I mean, if they make themselves out of bones, I could see that. Like, you have bones inside you. It's like the fairies in Hellboy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I believe this is where she calls him Luvo, because he's like, my name is, and then like hums like a mountain. She goes, Luvo.
I'm gonna call you Luvo.
And
I'm
then
not trying to be rude, but
similar, we have the opposite with you can call me Evie, and he's like, oh, that's much too short.
I'm gonna call you Evan Maymay, okay? I guess I don't really have a choice, so go for it.
But that's kind of the same thing with him too. It's like, I gotta call you shorter version. Well, I guess I don't have a choice. This is what we call compromise. We also hear about ice lions. I think like the ice lions also help to take care of her feet. We don't really see them, I don't think. Evie has to explain a lot of things to Luvo, a lot of human things. Like she's like, I need to wash, and he's like, what?
What is that?
He doesn't have a real nose.
Yeah. I think she mentions that, and like, it's a really good thing that Luvo can't smell me.
Yeah,
Because I
it
probably
was.
smell awful.
Can you smell me? No. Oh, good.
Then we cut back to Briar. Fort
He's just
Sambachew.
avoiding everybody because
Yeah.
he's just sad. He's a
Which is
sad boy.
legit. Which is legit.
And I guess there's messengers coming, but he can't feel the connection of Rosethorn getting closer. So he's like, I don't care about any of this because it's not Rosethorn.
Yeah, there's no Evie, there's no Rosethorn. He is like, I guess Fort Sambachew has like fallen, and they're talking about like whether or not Evie could have taken it down. And he's like, nope. She's not that good. She's good, but she's not that good.
Yeah.
Which just leaves everybody to speculation. Did Luvo do it? Probably.
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 Evie continues to tell Luvo about human things like magic, and then Luvo is like, oh, I can like recognize mages, and they talk about like what they can do to try and like find Evie's fr find Briar and Rosethorn. She at some point is basically like, no, I just need to go look for them, because Lou was like, I can find them. She's like, they're not stone mages. Like, I just need to go. She still can't really walk very well. She's healed, but not that healed. She's weak. And Luvo is like, I must take care of you. So he goes and finds a yak named Big Milk who is willing to take Evie.
Not just any yak, the queen yak.
The
Yes,
queen yak.
the queen yak.
Which
Big
is
milk.
probably why she's like even bigger than a normal size yak.
I think this yak is the one that snuffled Briar's ear.
Yes, Big Milk is at least as tall as Briar is.
Big milk.
Big Milk. At some point, Evie's like, but where am I gonna sit? But she's thinking, like, Big Milk's back is so broad, I could probably just sleep on her without falling off. Like, this is like a walking bed. Imagine your bed, and now imagine your bed as a yak.
It sounds so comfy, like cover up in some yak fur and just go to
Big
sleep.
Milk just seems like a very lovely person.
Yes.
They get Evie some clothes and they find a way for her to carry Luvo, and she and Luvo set out on Big Milk.
Oh,
What a line.
yeah.
So cute.
She and Luvo set out on Big Milk. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. Tell me about the cave snakes and the peak spiders and Big Milk.
I love them all endlessly, and I would die for them.
I wouldn't for the snakes, because you snakes.
Same. Well, no. I would also die for them because I like snakes.
They will
Snakes
use your
too.
bones wisely.
Wrapped in fur from his bedroll, he told the tiger about Evie, how aggravating she could be, how protective she was of her cats, how much she loved new clothes. Tiger had curled around him, forming a bowl to hold Briar at last. Bro. I feel that.
So sweet.
Because, like, all of you know about my project that I've been working on. And there was a point. There was a point the other day I had to put it down. I made myself mad because I thought of something my cat did that just infuriated me. When it happened, I felt really, really bad. But he was on the loft of my room and jumped the like 8 feet from the loft onto my chest while I was sleeping.
Oh, that little
Woof.
bastard.
And like
Jerk.
my immediate reaction, because I was asleep, was to yeet. And I yeeted him into the box fan and broke the box fan. He was fine. Everything was okay. I mean, the box fan wasn't okay, and I had bruises on my chest, but everything else was fine. But I was sitting there thinking about it as I was crossing. I'm like, that little motherfucker. In some dreams, when the bear wasn't present, a woman with a white eye painted on her forehead came and argued with her about food. The circle, or the temple of the
Sealed eye.
sacred ish. Just stretches through the whole mountains. Like that's what I take away from it, is it's just through the whole mountains. Or Luvo said, "Hey, meat creature, I got a meat creature. Come help me. My meat creature is broken. Can you fix it?"
I always interpreted it as the second, but I actually really like that first interpretation.
Well, like, because the reason why I'm taking it like as the first one is what hits me first, is because if you think about it, those mountains are massive. They are the holy mountains. Why wouldn't there be like ways to get through the whole thing? We don't know where the heart of it is, where the safe point is, but I think a temple city under the mountains would be really fucking cool. And I'm gonna stand by that.
Agreed.
Temple city under the mountain. That's cool as shit. This is both a like and a dislike. Just gonna throw that out there. The webs of the peak spiders cured them. Forgive us for keeping you in slumber. We felt that it would be less unnerving for you if you did not see how you were healed. I don't care about how I was healed. I care that I was hurt in the first place. I care that they killed all those people in the fort. I care that they killed my cats. I don't care about my physical discomfort. I don't care about the pain I'm going through. I care about what happened. Also, a dislike, and I'm sorry, we're just gonna hit all the dead cat comments today. She wasn't being polite or grateful, but if her cats were dead, why couldn't the thing just have left her to die? God, that's a fucking move! I'm laughing, I'm making a joke out of it, but god damn, Evie, you need to stop being relatable, or maybe I need to go talk to somebody.
Therapy's a good idea for anyone.
Yes.
Except for me, I'm a guy. So, no. I just keep things deep inside until I can't hold them in anymore, and then they explode.
Yes. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful. I suppose being mountain is a big thing, like being a god. I can't do big things. Bro. Bro. Look at all the big things you've done, baby. We're not
Not
gonna.
does not give herself enough credit.
No.
This is my students right here.
Yeah. I wish she had done it. I wish she had pulled it down on those murderers. Which, again, I don't think it was her. I'm pretty sure it was Luvo. I'm pretty sure Luvo said, fuck those guys in particular.
Fire's gonna enjoy meeting Luvo.
Well, that was Parahan who said that.
Well, Parahan's gonna enjoy meeting Luvo.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the fire around your stone self is magic that lets you draw on it. I did not know of this reason for the fire in some meat creatures, humans, before. Now that I know it, I can tell which fires I see are plane or on the plane are simply magic, and which are wrapped around part of the world. I can see the magic around your plant people if we are close to them. I think it is best I go with you. Are you able to carry me? Like, Luvo. He's like, I am free. Is Luvo autistic?
I think he just has a long way of thinking, if you know what I mean.
Like, I think he's just a rock. So, like, if he were a human, like, he's neurodivergent for a human.
Yes.
But that's because he's not a human.
Yeah. He's a rock.
I would guess that he thinks the way a lot of rocks think. Granted, from what we've heard of other mountains, he also is possibly neurodivergent for a rock.
You cannot understand what my moments of speech with you, what a joy my moments of speech with you are. Each one presents me with a new idea or a new problem when I have seen nothing new in ages. And then, like, immediately followed with, I look forward to our meeting with your friends. Truly, Ebumeme, do not value yourself so little. You are a bright light in my underground home.
What a beautiful.
That line had me crying at work today.
Evie has possibly gone through one of the most traumatic things that she will ever experience.
Yeah, dying.
Let's
Other stuff. Yeah, yeah.
She just went through one of possibly the most traumatic things she will ever go through. And someone is like, I love having you here. You make my life more interesting. And I love you for that. Like, he doesn't say I love you for that, but he has that tonation of you are something special. I have some big feelings.
It's very sweet.
It is. But to quote Luvo, you are all a bright spot in my dark underground. I love you.
Love now, you too.
We love
so
you
sweet.
Too.
To be honest, though, like, yes, what Indy just said. Because when I edit this every week, I swear every single goddamned week, one of y'all says something that I needed to hear that week. And I never know what it's going to be, but always, like, just halfway through edit, I'm like, fuck, that is what I needed to hear this week. So,
yeah.
Love you guys.
I
love doing this. This is fun. Except for the crying part, but even that's good sometimes.
It's March, so this is our 4-year anniversary.
It is! Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday.
We're a preschooler now.
I know, we're a whole 4 years old. I like the part when some people are coming to the fort and they are like, oh, those trees weren't there on the road when I was here last. And then looks past the guard and sees Briar. It's like, oh, I thought Rana made it up, but about you making trees from nothing. But never mind, that guy right there, yeah, Briar, he definitely did that.
He doesn't know the half of it.
Right?
He's like, oh, I guess he just popped some trees up. Those aren't just trees, dude.
No. Those used to be people. Those used to be people.
Well, they still are people. They're just.
I mean, they're also tree. My next one is like, but it also makes me really sad when he's thinking about Evie and he's feeling bad that him and Rosethorn drug her. With him, and he's like, all she wanted to do was see the mountains. Like, it's a twist with a knife. Like, we brought her all this way. All she wanted to do was see the mountains, and now she's dead. Ugh.
And that's, you know, just one of those survivor guilt things where you find any excuse to make yourself responsible for what happened.
Yeah.
Because you feel responsible, and it sucks. Yeah. Evie wanted to come.
Mm-hmm. She absolutely did.
She would not have wanted to leave either of them alone. So yeah. It's rough to hear him say that.
My next one is a dislike. It's kind of a like too. Luvo is taking care of Evie when he hears her crying out for her cats in her sleep. He has somebody go back to look to see if the cats are still alive, and they find the cats on the pile. It's sweet that he cared enough to go look, but it's really sad that they confirmed, yeah, in fact, the cats are dead. So, like and dislike, very sad. It was rough, but at least the very next paragraph, Evie's like, I don't usually cry like this, just so you don't think I'm some kind of watering pot. And Lou is like, what is
What's
a
that?
watering pot? And she has to explain to him what a watering pot is. And she's like, it's a jar, you put water in it, you pour it on the plant so they grow. And he's like, is rain not enough? And she's like, oh, these plants are indoors, so we have to have a watering pot for the plants that are indoors. Like, I'm trying to make a joke here, and you're not helping it at all, okay? Like, I didn't think I'd have to explain this.
Possible slight quote unquote spoilers. I love that it gets to a point where it's just, and then she had to explain what this was.
Yeah. My next one is another dislike where she's remembering the feel of the stone cold dead cats under her hands and asking, what did the villagers ever do to deserve dying like that? They had little ones with them, babies, and just, it was really sad. And then Evie's like, what, you think I'm crazy, don't you? Blue was like, I do not know what crazy means. What I think is that we healed the hurt in your feet and the hurt in your body, but now your spirit is sick. I want to heal that pain for you, but I do not know how.
That's real shit. Like
That is. I wish I could
psychological
do that for my
damage.
friends too. Like, oh, I see you're hurting, but there's not really anything I can do for you. I wish there was, but I
Yeah.
don't know.
You should go to school and get a psychology degree.
My next one is alike. The landed and its guardians do not care for intruders who damage and kill those who belong here or those who would bring good things here.
That line
It
went fucking hard.
did,
Yeah.
because
she's like, why would you kill them,
And like
basically?
the line before that of like, you know,
Yeah.
like why? How did the whole fucking
Yeah, because she had a
fort
feeling it
disappear?
wasn't an accident. And he's like, because the land doesn't like it. So.
It's just a little landslide, you know. Mountains are young, they're still moving. Don't worry about it.
Fine, don't worry about
It's like he kind of murdered them, but it's okay because
it. But hey, like they had it
kind of being
coming.
dickholes,
My next one is another like we kind of already talked about it, is when she sees the spider and Lumo's like, stop it, you frighten Debon Kongmo. And she's like, I frighten whatever that is. And he's like, her name is Debon Kongmo. She's bringing food for you. Stop that dreadful noise and thank her. Which, fair. Absolutely fair. But
yeah.
again, 6 foot spider, scary.
I want to point out that on some level, Luvo knew that the peak spiders would be scary. Because when she wakes up, he tells her, sorry we kept you asleep so long, but I thought that it would be better if you were asleep when while all of these creatures were taking care of you.
But what I find funny about it, though, is that even though he knew, the ones that were taking care of him of her were her daughters. So I'm sure they're smaller. So I'm gonna keep you asleep for the smaller ones. But you know what? Giant spider, huge wake up time. Like you get to meet the biggest one.
The queen of the yaks and the queen of the peak spiders, you know.
Exactly.
It's all the queens.
All the queens. We like powerful women. So here you go, Evie. You get to meet the powerful women.
I mean, maybe even the sun queen.
I'm
Okay.
gonna get to that.
Okay.
Don't steal it from me.
I won't.
My next one is when Evie starts taking her clothes off to go take a bath, and she, a talking rock and a giant spider were hardly the sorts to make her nervous about baring her skin.
Obligatory Animorphs reference. This makes me think of in the Animorphs when the Andalites, in the Andalite Chronicles, when they first meet humans, and the humans are like taking their shoes off and like, they're removing their hooves. Why would they do this? It's great.
That's funny. My next one is what Marjorie was just talking about. Luvo is talking about an enclosed place And he's like, it is like the temple place for the thunder horses, but it's for my mountain and those of my brother and sister. So the other two mountains are not, it's not three husbands, it's Luvo and his brother and sister. And
Sun
Evie's like,
Queen
the
is
humans here
bisexual.
worship your mountain and the other two as gods. They think you three are the husbands of the Sun Queen. And Luvo's like, ridiculous, the sun is not even part of this world. It reminded me of when I first got married and I had to go change a bunch of paperwork to change to my last name. And I had my brother with me. They're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm changing my last name because I got married. And they just assumed, I guess,
Oh,
that my brother was
congratulations,
my
you
husband.
two. Yeah,
Yeah,
wow.
congratulations. And we were both like, that's my brother. That's my sister. And they're like, oh, so sorry. Because we don't look anything alike. He's like 6 foot something. And I'm really short. My next one is when Briar and Parahan are talking. Briar tells Parahan, we'll come up with some surprises for their friends. You'll see. When Parahan looks at him, Briar gives his friend a small, nasty smile. We'll make Weishu regret he ever heard of any of us. I don't know. I feel like that was very indie. Reading that line, I was like, oh, yep, Indy's Deathly Briar.
It's violence time.
Violence.
There's a reason.
My next one is when Evie tells Luvo, I need a privy. And then she has to explain what privies are for and why she couldn't just go where she stood, like the animals of his mountain. And like, I'm imagining her doing like a little potty dance or whatever. Like, I'm about to explain all this to you and I'm about to bust. Like, I just need to go, please.
I'll be honest, that quote reminded me of a quote from Futurama. I don't remember what episode it is, but Fry is like trapped in a zoo or something, and he's like an exhibit. And he's like, what did they expect me to do? Just walk around and piss and shit everywhere? And it's like, and then Leela's like, no, you could just do it in a corner like an animal does. And he's like, oh, like, yeah, use a fucking corner, idiot.
My next one is when the smaller spider brings more food for Evie. This one's only 3 feet tall. And Lupo's like, she's the one who bandaged your feet. She's very shy. And Evie calls her, thank you. And the spider like runs away. It's like, oh, so cute. My next one is when Evie and Lupo are fixing to start writing Big Milk. And Lupo tells her, you have trusted me so far, Evie Mei Mei. She's like, I didn't have a choice. You have one now. Not really. And she climbs up on Big Milk. And then my last one is when Evie tells Big Milk, now be patient with me, all right? I've never ridden anybody as wonderful as you before. And Luvo tells her she likes the compliment. Aw.
Really buttering her up.
Well, I mean, she does sound wonderful. Like a big bed you could just lay on and just like if I could sleep while I'm driving, that would be great. Like you get to go from point A to point B and still be able to sleep comfortably. That sounds awesome.
The tiger made a bowl for him, like he's a baby. It's very sweet. I really enjoyed the there's a lot of this in this chapter, and I will get into that in the next section. But the chief priestess comes up and says, like, I think we must treat the gate tigers differently after this. It is written in our books that they are mindless slaves of our magic, but apparently they are otherwise. It's just an interesting concept of these, beings possibly being sentient as opposed to just a puppet that you control. Kind of like the conversation we had with the animals earlier. Like, yeah, animals can have thoughts and emotions and feelings too. Maybe not as deeply or as expressively as a human can, but they definitely feel stuff. Love that Jimut and Suda just fucking hem Briar between each other and just like, you're gonna eat this food. And like he forces himself to do it just so they they're so annoying that they force him to eat the food. And it's hilarious because they would nag him to death was the quote. Brittany kind of brought up the quote already of Evie dying, and Captain Shaw and his company died as well, but they were soldiers. They had known that they were expected to die in war. Civilians are less so. But it reminded me of a quote that goes, "When elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers." It's an African proverb. When the big forces fight, it is the innocents caught in between that suffer the most because they don't always have supply lines or places to fall back to. Like if the fighting happens around their homes, there's not really that much they can do, and it impacts them more so and obviously more unfairly because they usually don't have anything to do with the actual fighting. War sucks.
Yes.
I know, crazy hot take right there. I liked Luvo's description of I could not begin to say such a name before I could not begin to say such a name before I would have finished it, since Evie is so short. It has to be at least Evu Mei Mei, because his concept of time is severely skewed. I'm
I wonder
assuming.
how he would handle like Brittany.
It's not long enough. I must lengthen your
It
name.
would be Brittany Dick. When Evie gets the food from the spider, she's like, did the humans not see her? Like, how did a 6 foot fucking spider break into a place, yoink some food, and get out without people knowing? And Luo explains that no one sees the spirit people of this realm if those people do not desire it. They prefer quiet lives. Stop asking questions, Evu Mei Mei. I wonder if that was directed towards us as readers as well, as just kind of a like, dad, don't think about it too much.
It's like that line in the Mystery Science Theater intro that's like, if you want to know how he breathes and goes to the bathroom and all that, just remind yourself that it's a TV show.
There's spirits here. We're on top of the high place. Don't think about it too much. It's fine. Oh, Evie deciding that the barley flour balls called Sampa, filled with butter and milk curds, tasted better than anything she had eaten in her life, even her beloved fried eggplant, which, as we all know, is the queen of vegetables.
Yes, it
Because
is.
any other time she would have spit that out. She was like, "Ugh, gross, nasty."
Which I mean, how bad could it be? It's like a cheese curd covered in bread. I'll take
Right?
that. That
But
sounds
no,
fine.
she says that normally she would spit that out and be like, "Ugh, nasty." But
Goodwin, you got to get on making these.
They sound amazing.
Lord. Y'all gonna have me cooking.
Well, don't we
Yeah.
have a running like food list?
It's here somewhere.
And
I haven't kept up this book.
when
There's a
we I
lot.
haven't either.
Oh, well, I'm gonna have to reread it again, apparently.
No. I'll do it.
The but like to be honest, the food is gonna go downhill in the next series.
I liked the part where Parahan and Suda bring Briar and is like, stop hiding. No more hiding. You're gonna eat with us. Don't complain about it. They walk in. Parahan's already fucking eating, and it's like, you couldn't wait 5 minutes.
No, I'm hungry now, okay?
The man has been held prisoner for a long time.
That's exactly what I was fixing to say. Like,
I was gonna say there's a reason that Briar and Evie and Parahan became friends so quickly. They all know hunger.
Yeah. What do you expect from me?
And if Briar wasn't depressed, and I'm not trying to like criticize that, but if Briar wasn't depressed, he would be behaving exactly like Parahan.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I thought it was kind of funny when Evie wakes up and sees Luvo standing in the exact same place he was when she went to sleep. He's literally just been chilling there.
It was a person, I'd be creeped out. Like, why are you just staring at me while I'm sleeping? That's freaky. Move something, damn.
But it's also been a while, so it's possible that like he has moved and come back.
I don't think
I,
so.
I,
No, and Luvo, no, he
he's
has
used to
not moved.
probably not moving.
I mean,
Yeah.
yes, like he probably doesn't move very
I
much. And
don't
this
think
is,
he moved.
for him, this is a very short period of time. This
Yes.
is like sitting in one place for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much.
Yeah, no, for him, it was like a blink. Like, oh, you're awake. Good.
Big milk. I don't know what else to say other than just big milk.
Big milk.
Still just like last time, reminds me of like the dairy farmers of America. Just fucking like yeah, Big Milk made those Got Milk commercials, and Big Milk is putting fluoride in our milk to make us dumb or something. I don't know. It makes me think of like
Big
a
Milk wants you to eat
it.
Oreos so
It's
that
a
you will buy
conspiracy.
more milk.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. It's just.
So on page 287, Briar talks about wanting to get revenge, and somebody tells him that he may not have a choice because Army's doing other things. I'm glad that he may not have a choice for revenge because, as we discussed after books 5 through 8, revenge is bad, y'all. It's not good for the body. I also like that he wants to play prey in the Willow Grove.
The Willow Grove, the
He made
people.
that.
Yes. So I feel like there's like layers there, right? I mean, like it's like trees and he wants to be among the trees. But also, I feel like to me, it reminds me a little bit of when he kills the mute and he turns around and he says, I have to look at what I've done. So I think to me, it's a little bit of,
Going back and looking at what he did.
yeah, like I have to know that I did this. I'm not entirely sure where I was going with this thought, but we'll see if I can figure it out. You think I'm crazy, don't you? I do not know what crazy means, the creature said in his slow, thoughtful way. What I think is that we healed the hurt in your feet and the hurt in your body, and now your spirit is sick. I want to heal that pain for you, but I do not know how. I can heal the meat creatures of my mountain, but I leave two-legged meat creatures to their own kind. Oh, I do know where I was going with this. And then Evie says, do you always talk this way? So I wrote, I feel like Luvo rubbed off on Evie in a bad way. Because in Melting Stones, she also refers to people as meat creatures. But here, she's kind of like pushing up against that and like, meat creatures, what? But then instead of like Luvo like moving away from calling the meat creatures, Evie goes towards calling the meat creatures. And then I wrote, considering his empathy here, she may have rubbed off on him in a bad way too. Because I feel like he's more empathetic to humans in this scene than we see in Melting Stones.
I can, yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I mean, to be fair, like he hasn't met a lot of humans.
he has straight up killed like at least 50, 100 more people
That's true.
here. Like straight up murked them.
That's true.
Admittedly, they are people invading a place where they don't belong and killing not just soldiers, but also innocent people. So, you know, is that I don't know if I
Yeah.
agree.
I also wrote that in this book, he tells her to stop asking questions, but I feel like he's more supportive of her curiosity in Melting Stones. So he's grown and changed in that way as well.
He probably became more patient, I guess.
Which is saying something for Luvo.
Yeah. It's a different
But
type of patience, yeah.
yeah, for sure. And I know like in the beginning of Melting Stones, she's whining about something and he's like, if you will stop this dreadful noise, I'll tell you the story of whatever. And Rose Thorne's like, don't reward her for bad behavior. And he's like, she's young. Young rocks have to be entertained. So I feel like he better understands like young rocks like Evie. Page 294. She did not want to think about gods shaped like spiders. That's a mood.
Poor
I don't
spider.
either.
Poor
I am
spider.
highly arachnophobic, and I also do not want to think about gods shaped like spiders.
But what if a 6-foot spider was bringing you good food?
Then I would get over it. But I would also freak the fuck out
And their
until.
daughters helped heal your wounds, and you're still gonna be unkind. No bueno. Poor spiders.
Personally, like if I had to deal with it, I'll deal with it, but I don't want to
Yeah.
think about it on my free time.
My
Poor
arachnophobia is
spiders.
bad enough that like if I was in Evie's position, I don't know if I would be able to like get myself to stop screaming.
Poor spiders. They're
It's
just
just
trying to
that
help.
bad.
Poor spiders.
Yeah. Spiders freak me out, y'all.
Yeah, no, I would be the opposite. I would be that way with the bone snakes. No, nope. Scary. And spider, I probably would scream too, just waking up and seeing a giant ass spider. But once I knew it was giving me food, I'd be like, okay, thanks, spider.
On page 13, and one of y'all already talked about this, but Evie's thinking about the refugees in the temple. And I know we've talked some about how it seems like a big shift for Evie at the end of Melting Stone to decide to dedicate herself. But I feel like this is sort of a seed there of she already has something in her that brings her to think about other people and to want to help other people. It kind of turns to stone with her for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, and I talked about Luvo tells her to stop asking questions, so he's not really supporting her curiosity. I think curiosity is super important, y'all. But then on page 202, Luvo himself is curious, or 302. I think this is just like when he's talking about like how he wants to go with her. This is the same part that Indy read earlier. You cannot understand what a joy my moments of speech are with you. Each one presents me with a new idea or a new problem when I have seen nothing new in ages. I have not felt so alive in a millennia, Evumeme. Wanting to experience new things. He has curiosity. And yet he's also telling her to stop asking questions. Hey, Luvo, she's just being curious, okay? It's healthy and it's how you learn. Oh, and then the last thing I wrote was, I don't blame Dibon Kangmo's daughter for being shy of humans. I don't like spiders, and you know what? If you're shy of me, I'm not really surprised. I'm sorry. I can try to be nice to you. It's just very scary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
My theme is that things are not always what they seem. Right in the beginning, you see Chief Priestess being like, hey, we thought these big old tiger things were just mindless things, but apparently you can talk to them and they'll cuddle with you. So apparently they have minds of their own a little bit. So we should change our entire books because we kind of fucked that one up.
Mm-hmm.
When Evie is dreaming, she dreamt that her feet had been flayed and that they killed everyone in the fort. And she was like, oh, it must have been a dream. And it's like, no, that actually happened, unfortunately. Including the big spider web with the feet, the snakes and stuff.
Mine was care and understanding. At the beginning of the chapter, the tigers are caring for Briar by keeping him all curling up around him when he's sad about Evie. Luvo is taking care of Evie in the cave and all the different gods that are there too, helping take care of Evie. Suda, is that her name? Yeah, Suda is also caring for Briar too by having him come. He's trying to avoid everyone, and she is like, no, you need to come over here with us. You've got to eat. She's taking care of him too. Big Milk is taking care of them as well by giving them a ride. And then the understanding, I feel a lot of most of it, probably all of it, is from Evie trying to tell Luvo all the different things. Like, what's a watering pot? Why do you need a privy? Like, getting Luvo to understand what's going on. See, he doesn't know all these neat creature things.
I think mine's kind of close to that. Mine is grief and comfort. And we kind of see it like just throughout Briar receiving comfort from the tigers and the twins. But we also see it with Evie and all of the little gods and Luvo, even though he doesn't entirely understand what's going on. But there's grief to be had, but also comforting or an attempt of comfort and support.
Well, I told y'all I had three, and they were grief, curiosity, and care. So,
woohoo!
Nailed it.
Wow.
We did so good.
Look at us go.
When Brittany said hers was care, I was like, if Natalie's isn't grief, I'm going to be so upset.
I feel like we should all get gold stars for that.
Yay, yeah,
bring you gold stars. Us. If I remember. Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. So I actually have two here too. This is the part where they're talking about the fort. Luvo says, the land and its guardians do not care for intruders who damage and kill those who belong here or those who would bring good things here. Yeah, I mentioned in a previous chapter, I think that there's like some little environmentalism that has come into play in this book where she talks about how the war has ravaged the land. But I think that quote pretty much stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing, page 295. You do not like it when I call your people meat creatures. What do you call them? Humans, Evie said, or people. People can be anyone. That's the big line that stuck with me, is people can be anyone. And I wrote down to read something from Rabbi Danya Rettenberg. Shout out to the cantor at my synagogue who introduced the writing of Danya Rettenberg to me, and with this post, actually. So this is from October 12th, and I'm only going to read a very small piece of it because it's incredibly long. But Danya Rettenberg has a website called Life is a Sacred Text, and you can search that and find it. Friends, remember, both Jews and Palestinians have existed on that land for thousands of years. It wasn't all Jews before the Bar Kokhba revolt, and not all Jews left after the Bar Kokhba revolt. And the Jewish idea of returning to that patch of land started because Jews weren't free or safe in Europe. It was explosions, pogroms, inquisitions, murders, and more that led to the yearning for a Jewish place in the first place, whatever the impact that has been. And the catalyst for the movement towards statehood was the Holocaust. Jews didn't have anywhere else to go. But that Jews weren't safe and free doesn't mean that we have a right to make other people unsafe and unfree. Trauma turtles all the way down. I know Jews are not safe now and feeling less free this week than we have in some time. And We can refuse to root for the safety and lives and rights of human beings like they are sports teams. People can be anyone.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I also have two. My first one is when Suda goes to pull Briar out of his rooms and saying, stop hiding. And he proceeds to go with her to go eat and talk to both Suda and Parahan. What I got from this is that sometimes you gotta let people take care of you, even whenever you're not wanting to be around people. You just want to be stuck in your house or your room or whatever, and just want to wallow in your self-pity. And like, I'm sad. I just want to be sad. I want to be left alone. Sometimes it's good to let people take care of you and share that sadness with you. Suda didn't know Evie very well, and I guess neither did Parahan, but they're also sad about Evie dying, and they can share in your grief. Let people take care of you when you're sad. You're not alone. My second one is the quote, truly, Evie Maymay, do not value yourself so little. You are a bright light in my underground home. And like I said earlier, I was reading this passage at work today during my lunch break. Reading that line, I just started bawling. I recently went through a divorce. I had begged him to pick his family and me over alcohol, and he chose not to. And I have feeling very low about myself, like I'm not even worth wanting to stick around for, wanting to change for. Me and my kids are not enough. So I've been feeling really down about that. And reading this line is like, do not value yourself so little. Sorry. This is something I really need to hear right now.
Well, Brittany, you stole one of mine.
You're welcome.
And I still want to touch on it. Specifically, Suda going in and like, dragging Briar out. Sometimes people are too close to the damn mirror. They see the flaws, they see the sadness, they see all of these imperfections, and that is what they focus on. They focus on their grief, or they focus on being alone, or all of this stuff that when you're too close to the mirror, you can't see the bigger picture. You need to get you a friend who is willing to break into your room at 4 a.m., drag your ass out of bed, throw you in the shower and say, bitch, get up, let's go. Where are we going? We're going for a ride. Let's just go. Because sometimes we all need that person who will pull us back. Yep. And sometimes we also have to be Suda.
Yep.
I think that's something that is something that needs to be reminded, because you can't expect someone to come and save you every time.
Right.
When you don't try to do the saving of others. That sounds weird. I know it sounds weird, but it's less about the grief and more about being the person who yanks the other out of it. Yeah.
Has to be a give and take. And in like the friend relationships of you know.
You have to also put in the emotional effort.
Well, mine sucks compared to all of that. But I'll go anyways. Mine was from I Do Not Know What Crazy Means. The creature said in his slow, thoughtful way, what I think is that we heal the hurt in your feet and the hurt in your body, but now your spirit is sick. God, we've been over it like three times already. But the emotional line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. the emotional pain that can happen when you go through something traumatic might not leave any physical scars on you. And, you know, maybe it might. Maybe you get bruised or something. But if the mental anguish is so bad to where you can't function the way you could before, it's okay to go seek help, because you sometimes can't fix everything by yourself. Or your friends coming to you can't fix it by yourself either. In universe, I know they're called mind healers. Is that what they were referenced as?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a word for that here. Psychologists and therapists. Obviously, that's not like the end-all, be-all cure to everything that ails you, but they certainly help, especially as a guy. I know it's like hard to talk about your emotions and mental illness and stuff. I don't know. I feel lucky that I'm relatively well adjusted, I guess. I can tell when I do need help, and I've gotten help before. And it's worth doing, because sometimes you can push away the people that you love without meaning to. Go see a fucking therapist, you bozo. You specifically listening to this right now, do it. There's no shame in it. Time may heal wounds, but if you can get some help to make it sooner, why not? You don't have to suffer through it.
You don't have to be alone.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 17 of Battle Magic. Rosethorn went to the river and soaked two handkerchiefs in the cold water. She wiped her face with one and gave the other to Briar. A light rain had begun to fall. At times like this, it's hard to be a good dedicate and to trust in the gods that all things happen for a reason, she said, her voice hoarse. She had such a hard life. I feel that the gods owed her something better for longer than she had it. She looked at her handkerchief and twisted it dry. Since I never get an answer from the gods, I shall have to work my frustration out on Weishu and his armies. Briar nodded. She had put his rage into words. They would make Weishu pay. Rosethorn put her arm around him as they walked over to the others. They were already mounted up. Jimut passed her the reins of a fresh mount they had brought for her. The one she had ridden this far was with their spare horses. Rosethorn stopped briefly to give them a handful of oats, then swung into the saddle on a fresh horse. Briar looked at the drizzling clouds, wishing he and Rosethorn had the wide straw hats they usually wore in the rain. Where had the hats gone? East, probably, with the traders. He hauled himself into the saddle of his own mount. Are you up to a trot? The sergeant in charge of the squad asked Rosethorn. So we can cover some ground. I'll keep up, Rosethorn said. Don't worry about me. Briar rode beside her, one careful eye on his teacher. He could tell she was upset, but he knew her. To the others, she must look as if she were deep in thought. That's good, he told himself. She hates people feeling bad for her. For his own part, he had Evie's stone alphabet in the sling on his chest, tucked among the seed balls he'd used for weapons. Now and then he would slip a rock or crystal from its pocket and hold it, reminding himself of what he owed the Emperor and his soldiers. They set a rhythm of trot, walk, trot, rest. They would water the horses, drink tea, check to make sure their weapons were ready for use, and then mount up again. That steady pace brought them to the supply wagons by late afternoon. At day's end, they found Parahan, Sudamini, Captain Lango, and their soldiers. They were raising their tents at the far end of the ground where the Western tribes and temple warriors had set up camp. Their friends greeted Rosethorn, expressed their sympathy for her loss, and invited her and Briar to join them for supper. Free of her temple's burden, Rosethorn was happy to share a tent with Briar. Jimut saw to the arrangements, placing it to one side of Suda's far larger tent. While they waited for the call to eat, Jimut also brought out Rosethorn's packs, which had traveled with their supplies. She and Briar sat quietly, going over what they had. Finally, Briar had to ask, "What was it like?" Rosethorn sighed. "I can't say."
"Wasn't it just a temple?"
"It was, and it wasn't. I can't put it any better than that."
"You could try."
"Briar, it's not permitted. I had to swear an oath." He knew she meant it.
"I hate that, you know. Just once you could break an oath."
"Then how would you ever trust me, boy, or I you?"
I'm not your boy. In a shocking burst of affection, she leaned over the seed balls between them and hugged him. You will always be my boy. And you will never listen to me again. And you will never listen. You would never listen to me again if I broke an oath. You know Parahan and them will ask. He hugged her back and let go at the same time that she did. They will have something like the same answer, Rosethorn sighed. For a moment, they were quiet together before she said, I will be so glad to go home.
I know what you mean, he said fervently. This country is just too odd, Rosethorn. The paintings come to life and make fun of you.
There are mysteries I was never taught in my temple, she added.
Statues move around.
I hear voices that shouldn't be there. Emelon is wonderfully ordinary, Rosethorn said. We'll go home, and this place will seem like a distant dream. It has to.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us. Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening. Let's all have coffee next week.
Well, I'm like, is Meth Milk like one of her children?
That's the black sheep of the family. We don't talk about Meth Milk.
Big Milk is my mother. I'm Meth Milk.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.